Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is a special holiday evergreen edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. And you're welcome, everyone, because Bob and I invented something new that's never been done in this medium. We're looking back at the year that was in sports. Suck it, everyone else. We came up with it first.
We should actually look at listener questions, too. I feel like that'd be an exciting and revolutionary thing we could do.
Wait a minute. Like, take listener thoughts and then co-opt it as our own content.
Yeah.
Bob, that's nuts. That would never work.
Well, that's what makes me the great producer that I am.
Bob, you ignorant slut. That would never be able to work.
All righty. So, first of all, hope you had a great Christmas.
Yes.
And that everybody enjoyed their holidays and that you were healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yes, absolutely.
And 100%. As we look ahead to the new year, hopefully, if you have a party planned, it's a good one. Mm-hmm. And if you're just going to hang out with friends and family, that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Top five. Basically, we're going to turn this into one top five, mm-hmm. Cause's top five stories, and we discuss the biggest stories of 2017. All sports.
My two honorable mentions that didn't make the list, Mayweather versus McGregor, and the NHL skipping out on the Pyeongchang Olympics.
Pyeongchang. Yeah.
Did not say that correctly. So this list, it's a lot more Toronto-centric with some non as well. So here is my list. Number five, the death of Roy Halladay. I think just in terms of you remember, like, it's one of those I remember where I was when it happened. Just left the movie theater, seen a Tom Cruise flick when I got the news and just absolutely shocked. So number five is the death of Roy Halladay.
If you're a Toronto sports fan, you know that we haven't had a lot of heroes in this town. And by hero, what I mean is a player who is truly great and also demonstrates a certain degree of character in that greatness.
Yes.
And Roy Halladay might have been the number one example
yeah.
of sports hero our city has maybe had. Like Vince was a great player. Matt Sundin was a great player. There have been great players that have played here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that anybody ever really... If you had a son, you wanted him to grow up to be like Roy Halladay.
Yep.
I aspired to be like Roy Halladay, and he's younger or was younger than I am. And you don't get that very often, but there was just something so mature and so determined and disciplined. I was pretty crushed when he died.
Oh, yeah. And just for the sports fan, why you loved him is he was the unique combination of hardcore try-hard guy plus, oh, by the way, I'm also super talented. Like, imagine you could combine... Jerome Williams with Vince Carter. That's Roy Halladay. If you could do Austin Matthews, like just Alex McGillney at his best with whoever the fourth line grinder guy that we all love because he tries real hard, you could combine that. That was Roy Halladay, who's also going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, who was for many years the best at his position, and he was ours and started here in Toronto.
There's something about being a dignified alpha. Which is what he was. He was a dignified alpha. When Jean Béliveau died, and Jean Béliveau may be Canada's greatest example of this, but as much as people celebrated the greatness of his talent, they celebrated the greatness of the man.
Yes.
And with Roy Halladay, I think Roy was less of a statesman than Béliveau was, just being who Béliveau was in Montreal.
Yeah, and Roy was quiet.
And he didn't really garner headlines in the same way. Mm-hmm. But there was something about the dignified alpha in him that you looked at it and you thought, there are so many ways to be this great and to be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
They just retired Kobe's two numbers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, maybe even Mike Grange wrote about it, but saying, there's so many guys who are better people than this. Like maybe I'm attributing that to Grange and I shouldn't, but regardless, I thought.
No, there was tweets about the fact that, they're celebrating the greatness of Kobe Bryant, everything about him and his life. And, they're sort of skipping Colorado trial, sexual assault, that kind of stuff. That kind of got, buried.
So there was that, which is, that got buried by the whole NBA. And I think in a lot of ways by a lot of fans as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we just know Kobe is a cold mercenary type person. And we saw this in Jordan as well, that as much as you can't take their greatness away from them, You could never say, I aspire to be them as human beings.
Yes.
I would love to accomplish what they accomplished, but do you want to be like that?
Absolutely not.
No, but with Roy Halladay, you would say, to be that great and to be that kind of person, there was nothing holding you back from just admiring them.
Yep.
And that happens so infrequently, and it's not just sports, but in every walk of life, whether it's entertainment, the financial world, you know, being a great heart surgeon.
Yeah.
You know, that pursuit of greatness leaves a lot of people chewed up and spit out.
Yeah,
and all you have is your accomplishments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. And he died young, and the family and his wife gave a great speech. So that was my number five. Number four, the Super Bowl comeback. New England was down 21-0. They were down, again, just a reminder, 28-3 with just over 17 minutes left in regulation. And, of course, they won. And a crazy Super Bowl where everyone who is working in the media, you had your story written, and then it slowly changed, and then it slowly changed. And then at the end, you're left thinking, you know, once again, now Brady, more Super Bowls in Montana or Terry Bradshaw. Somehow they did it again. They turned a really good team, and they made them do stupid things. Because that Super Bowl, if only as benign as, say, Atlanta on three plays, just ran the ball for 0 yards. Versus passing on three of them where they were incomplete, that game would be different.
I remember that mostly as the game I didn't know how to feel. Mm-hmm. Because I hate New England, and I can't stand Tom Brady. But you admire him so much that, A, you're like, wow, how is this guy doing this? But also, at the end of it, you knew Goodell was going to have to present him with the trophy.
Yep, exactly.
And this was the year, of course, and Belichick. And so, you know, the Patriots, I think, unfairly got ripped with Tom Brady getting the 4-game suspension.
Agreed.
It went through a million appeals, and eventually the NFL just made it happen.
Yeah.
And you felt this was them trying to flex their muscle. So they were kind of underdogs in that sense. Like, even though they were the Patriots, didn't you kind of want to see Goodell squirm
He
had to celebrate this team?
Oh, of course.
But then you find yourself in the awkward position of saying, I hope New England does this, as opposed to, I hope they get embarrassed by Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was a roller coaster of emotion. And they did it without Gronkowski. And yes, you wanted to see Belichick and Brady. I wanted them to do more. They were way too gracious for my liking.
So let's look at Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. And I use Matt Stafford just as an example of a guy who is a really good quarterback who will probably go down in history as a guy who was very talented and didn't win very much.
Yes.
And more positive than negative. Matt Ryan could have been that guy,
mm-hmm.
a very good quarterback who didn't win the big game. But because he lost it in this way and you're the quarterback, I don't know that you can ever erase this from your resume.
Oh, no.
He would have to win again.
Yes.
Like, he would have to get back and win. And
you've got to win.
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Matt Ryan, just that his career probably didn't deserve this.
And that's going to be probably him as peak was last year, because some of the deep analytics looked at the number of passes he threw that should have been intercepted, where it was just dropped by the defensive back. So not because Matt Ryan did anything good, but just the defensive back did something poorly. And he was number one in terms of interceptions that should have been caught that were dropped. Everyone was healthy. So many one else in that division stunk last year. So then they waved this crest of it. Damn. So I think that was one of those games where you were left wondering at the end, did New England win or did Atlanta lose? And I think Atlanta lost. They choked that away. We don't use choke that much. That was a choke.
That was a genuine choke job. That's a word that gets overused in sports all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an example of a good team that had built up what should have been an insurmountable lead and just did dumb thing after dumb thing and looked unprepared for what was coming at them. That was the other thing. Is the key to choking, I think, Maddie, is the sense of being flustered. It's not just the other team comes back. It's you have to look like you are out of control.
Yeah.
That you are being overwhelmed by the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And did Atlanta not have that?
Of course. And New England didn't have Gronkowski, the best non-quarterback in the league last year.
Man, I just keep thinking about Gronkowski catching pass after pass against Pittsburgh in that final 2-minute drive.
Yeah.
They're going to win again.
Number three, sticking with football, Colin Kaepernick. Everything involving Colin Kaepernick and the kneel and how this got Trump involved and Jerry Jones now waging war on it. And then Bob McNair, the Texans owner, you know, just saying the inmates running the prison. And then it suddenly turned football. It politicized football that much more, and left versus right. And the New York Times hates football and Fox loves it and just all of it. And some of it for better and some of it for worse. this is not me even saying it was the best or the worst thing, but in terms of storylines, Colin Kaepernick and just the bravery of him taking that knee, you know, sacrificing his career, and in the end, for something as benign as that. You know, there's so many far more players doing far worse things that are still playing. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick, number three.
And the weird thing about it, Maddie, is fired through the lens of history, at the time people make these stands, they're almost always ripped. Mm-hmm. And then 20 years later, they become heroes as the ideals that they stood up for tend to be more integrated into the mainstream.
Yes.
We saw this with Muhammad Ali. He's yep. probably the number one ideal. We saw this with Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. Just people who stand up for certain things, they get pounded at the moment by whatever oppositional forces there are.
And he wasn't the best.
And then slowly integrated.
Yes, he was. He was an imperfect messenger, the Castro shirt, the pig's socks. But at the end of it, all he was doing is going, I'm just trying to raise awareness for police brutality by taking a knee. And I talked to a lot of people that are in the military who said you should do that.
It's interesting to see the way it became a popular movement across the NFL after Trump made it a First Amendment issue.
Yeah.
That it was about your right to protest. It wasn't even about the Black Lives Matter anymore. It wasn't about police brutality.
Oh, no.
It became that.
It became
these players,
so many things.
And primarily, it became the act of taking a knee. Not mm-hmm. what you would be taking a knee about,
yeah.
but just the fact that you would have an opinion that mm-hmm. I think the players, they wanted to show that they weren't merely cattle. They wanted to show they were independent, autonomous human beings that were allowed to express themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a much easier position to adopt than police brutality or Black Lives Matter, which are very controversial and continue to be. But nobody can realistically say you're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a nuts story.
I actually think it was the number one sports story of the year in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. But since we do a lot of Toronto stuff, and I'm assuming you have Toronto stuff on tap.
I've got Toronto at number two and number one. So that's why it was number three. But
right.
yes, I fully get it. If you wanted to look just at the prism of North American sports, Colin Kaepernick was number one because football is still the number one sport. And the president got directly involved over this. And it caused owner versus president and Goodell suddenly looking like not the villain for a little while, which is rare for him.
And it was amazing to see Donald Trump send out that series of angry tweets about Jerry Richardson saying how we cannot condone that kind of behavior and we need our owners to... Oh, no, wait, he didn't send those.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, sorry. I was no. sorry. No, yeah. That's right. Yeah, no, yeah. He didn't send the
he
ones
did that about Al Franken.
Right.
Al Franken.
Yeah. That was
not,
right.
Al Franken's right. the horrible person, not Roy Moore.
Roy Moore, that's right. Yeah. No, sorry. I got that mixed up. I thought he was... Yeah. Right.
Yeah. By the way, if Colin Kaepernick had never happened, if he didn't kneel... Maybe Richardson isn't like just, it's the whole butterfly effect.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that.
It might have still happened just right.
It might have still happened, but I know what you're saying. It was indicative, it was emblematic of a year in which a lot of communities stood up and said, we're not going to be treated this way anymore.
And owners were much more under the microscope after Kaepernick. Because then it's, oh, are they blackballing him? Yes. Is there collusion? Yeah, there is some. Is there owners that are... The problem was owners demand players to be brave on the field, but yet then they're not brave enough to bring in a guy who is a better backup quarterback than TJ Yates.
I never understood. I could understand why someone would say, I don't support the cause that you are kneeling for. Mm-hmm. I've never understood an American who love, you know, they love their constitution. And in a lot of ways, it's a beautiful document mm-hmm. saying, I think that you shouldn't have the rights that the soldiers will go and die for, that we say that we admire them for going and dying for. But by the way, you shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
Because it's disrespectful to the people that went and fought for it. It seemed like the exact height of hypocrisy.
Yes.
That the most the way that you could best honor the legacy of people who are willing to die for an ideal is to express that ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the end, it's simple as this. I love the idea of I don't agree with your protest, but I agree with your ability to protest.
It was who was it? Was that Voltaire who said that? It was someone from the French.
I butchered that paragraph. Yeah, but you get the, you did the point.
You know, we're a sports podcast, man.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of sports, number two, BMO Tenants. Good year for them.
Toronto, City of Champions.
Argonauts defeated Calgary on the strength of 200-yard plays, and TFC dominated Seattle and finally started scoring, avenging last year's loss. And for TFC, fantastic for them because it puts a bow on the greatest season in the history of MLS. If you set the points record and you don't win at all, a la the Patriots, man, that's a big asterisk. So they were able to you know, it felt like that was their destiny. And then for the Argonauts, they stole the destiny of Calgary.
In a lot of ways, the Argos win was, it was fun, mm-hmm. but because it was a snow game, it was a little unsatisfying. As the actual champions of the CFL year,
yeah.
they won one game to get to the title.
Yeah.
And in that title, there was a blizzard. And they managed to outlast a team that was clearly better than them on a series of a couple of decent plays and then some mistakes that Calgary made late.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Right, they who cares?
Ricky Ray
somehow. Like, the party is still a party.
Yeah, Ricky Ray somehow, you know, doesn't throw the ball deep, had a 100-yarder to DeVar Posey, beating the best corner in the CFL, and then Cassius Vaughn with, like, a 105-yard fumble return touchdown. So, yeah, they got lucky. Everyone admits they got lucky, but guess what? Teams win like that.
And in a way, TFC was the exact opposite. TFC they probably had the dominated. Greatest year in the history of MLS.
Yeah.
They won everything that was put in their path. They were a wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. And they are such an easy team to like.
Yeah.
Michael Bradley and Josie Altidore, there's just big personalities. There's solid personalities. There's Canadian talent on the team.
Pachenko is great. The owner is like the president of the team. Like the president, Bill
Craig,
Manning.
Craig Vanney is, Vanney, like, is
yeah.
There's a lot of reasons to like TFC. I'm curious to see how much of this carries over to next year. Mm-hmm. That I feel that TFC will be able to carry more of that momentum over.
Than the Argonauts?
Than yeah. the Argonauts.
Of course,
will.
Absolutely.
And I still don't know that Ricky Ray is going to come back. I mean, not that I have any insider information. It's just he's won four Grey Cups.
Yep.
And he's the only player in Grey in CFL history to win four QB.
Four Grey Cups as a
starter, right? Yeah, as a starter.
Yes.
So if you were going to jump off the trolley, now would be a pretty good time to do it.
Ah, so I go the other way. Just real quick, James Franklin, you might not know, great backup quarterback for the Edmonton Eskimos.
You're being generous.
This guy is the number one young QB who's going to be a star, and he's in Toronto, and Toronto has weapons, and Toronto's got a great defense.
So wait, Toronto has this guy?
Yes.
When did that happen?
It happened a couple weeks ago.
Quiet. James, under the radar.
James Franklin. Now, hopefully, he's going to be a free agent, but Toronto now has his rights for the rest of his contract, which is going to end in February. But if they can re-sign him, you have got the perfect succession plan from Ricky Ray. The perfect one. 2 years ago, I was yelling and screaming that James Franklin's got to be a starter. And now he gets a chance because he was never going to be in Edmonton with Mike Riley. So there is good news when Ricky Ray retires.
Blessing in disguise. So here's a quick question before we move on to the number one story of the year.
Yep.
If the Raptors or the Leafs, and ideally both, but even just one of the two, have a deep run in the playoffs, like a conference final, maybe even a championship round.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, does this year officially, is it greater than 1993?
Oh.
Where you have the World Series and the Leafs in the conference final. You've got two championships already in the bank. If you can have one of those two teams go deep,
yeah.
does it become greater than 93? Or does it just simply have to be Leaf success?
We'll have to answer that another day. You've got that's too
big.
Great. That's too big. That's a great question.
I think it does, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
I think it does. I think it has to.
Yep, you can absolutely argue. You absolutely can. But that 93 team, Whamco, Bob, Whamco.
I understand. But you would need a serious run from either the Raps or the Leafs. In which case, you would look back and say,
you know,
the starters from the Raptors or Matthews in the
game.
No,
you can make that argument. Absolutely.
It's hard to say now because you don't have the emotional pull. But think about, like, if the Leafs were to go on the kind of run that the Jays went on in 2015.
Yeah.
Woo. There was a lot of positive feeling around
there. Really
and imagine
was.
What it would be like if it was the Leafs in the conference final.
Oh, that'd be glorious.
So we're going to wait and see, but it is possible.
It is.
And I wouldn't have said this, geez, probably any time since 1994, that we could have a better year than 93.
And number one, Bob, it's Toronto Maple Leafs. It's the year that they had. And let's go back. The final day of last season, they were 16-12-7. They beat Tampa 3-2 in overtime. Then on January 1st, how does the year start? It's the Centennial Classic. It's a 5-4 win over Detroit with Austin Matthews scoring the game-winning goal. The Leafs went 24-15-8 down the stretch. That series against Washington, 6-1 goal games. How did the 2017 year start? Started with Mitch Marner winning Rookie of the Month. And who won the final of those awards? It was William Nylander in March, winning NHL Rookie of the Month award. So the number one story has to be everything with the Maple Leafs. Get off to a great start this year as well. So my number one sports story, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think that is almost inevitable in this market. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I agree logically, but emotionally.
3 years ago, it would not have been.
Even now, because they haven't achieved enough. mm-hmm. that they haven't achieved enough that they would vault over those other stories, I don't think, except in our hearts. Except in our hearts as people who just are so grateful to have a team that's mm-hmm. worth cheering for. So I'm not sure I agree with you, except that you're probably right.
Yeah.
If that makes any
sense. No, it does. You know what they are,
Bob? Because it's not the most important sports stories of the year. It's the biggest sports yeah. stories of the year.
Here's what the Maple Leafs were. I don't know if you've seen, in honor of Christmas and Polar Express, no team in this area gives you more coal. And think of coal as content. And you're just shoveling that coal into that train to keep that train moving. And it started with the Centennial Classic. And then it went through the team getting better. And it went through the Rookie of the Month year winners. And Matthews getting better and pushing Washington. And then what they did to start this year. And you're right. Are there more important stories? Yes.
But probably not bigger ones.
The top story that just day in and day out, compelling because it is young talent that you can draw a direct line to a Stanley Cup championship easier. It's not than the other sports.
It's interesting. There are no controversies attached to this. Usually when a team captivates the public imagination, it's either because they've won a championship
yeah.
or because there's controversies. Mm-hmm. And there's neither in this case.
Nope.
They haven't come close to a championship.
Not yet.
And really, they've done a very good job of putting the lid on the simmering pot that was the Leafs of about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What has happened that has been negative with this team?
Komarov gets more minutes than Nylander in November, yeah. December.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's been.
You know, they didn't go and get a right shot defenseman.
Yeah.
And Ron Hainsey.
There was tons of them out there.
Right. And then Ron Hainsey winds up being pretty good.
Yeah.
He's had a great year, a career year for the Leafs. So... Matt Martin, why is he getting minutes?
Yeah.
No, he's been fine.
Yeah.
He's been fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, bloggers, so, analytics will get angry, but whatever.
I guess my point is they're kind of boring in a lot of ways. Like what we would normally consider to be sports interesting, mm-hmm. they're not.
No.
They go out, they play, they don't give you any material, no bulletin board material, no media material. They just kind of do their jobs.
Oh, what's that sound, Bob? Well, that's the sound of Lamoriello and Shanahan just...
High-fiving?
Just aggressively high-fiving each
right.
other. Yeah.
Right. They are the most interesting, boring team.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Yeah. And that's exactly what this market needed. And it needed a bit of a rest. Not just a good team, mm-hmm. but a rest from the hijinks.
Yeah.
You know, Kadri being thrown out of practice. Kessel, you know, and Salutgate. Or any number of ridiculous things that happen.
Jerseys being thrown on the ice. Dion Phaneuf. There's so many different things. But, Bob, you said it best. They're interesting, boring. Because you know what's really boring? When you get the tweet that has... What would the practice lines were at practice mm-hmm. at in Etobicoke, you know, at the arena there. But then what's the most interesting thing is looking at those lines and wondering, oh, Nylander's with who? Marner's with who? Who's that with that right. guy?
Marlowe's back at center.
Marlowe's back at center. And in one ways, it's so boring and interesting.
So I'm going to give you this. I don't agree. Well, we both agree with each other. It's not the most important story of the year, but it's yeah. the biggest story of the year because they are poised to... Well, they're poised to win.
Yeah.
And if they win, that's going to trump everything. The one thing I might have included, I don't know what I would have knocked out of your list, but player movement in the NBA over the summer, mm-hmm. I think had to be a top five story because Kyrie Irving goes to Boston. Chris Paul goes to Houston. The creation, Paul George goes to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
There's just the creation of the NBA super team went into hyperspace over the offseason. And the idea that the NBA player and the season has become so compelling as compared to the other leagues. I think that we're a bit removed from it now, 6 months later. Mm-hmm. But if you think back to June and July, it was really like all summer was dominated by the NBA. And I give them total credit for being always interesting and way more interesting than any of the other leagues.
Yep. Their offseason's far more interesting. Unfortunately, Bob, all these wonderful moves, Golden State's going to win in 5.
I'm not so sure. Houston's awfully good.
They are. They
Houston
are
awfully is
good.
Awfully good.
Okay.
No, look, I understand what you're saying. I hear it. But, you know, you can't, at the same time, remember when Steve Nash and Dwight Howard went to the Lakers?
Yeah,
and
every, a disaster.
And it was a disaster. But everyone said ahead of time, myself included, on the air, mm-hmm. every day, this is a joke. The league's a joke.
Yep.
You can build these teams and nobody else can compete. Mm-hmm. I think that Golden State is the best team.
Yes.
But there are some teams that have been put together that might be able to give them a run.
Golden State.
Houston in particular.
Golden State will not lose more than 6 games in the playoffs.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. A Houston-Golden State matchup mm-hmm. is so lethal.
It's going to be great. It's going to be 6 really fun games.
And let's not forget that Oklahoma City had Golden State on the ropes one of those years where it actually did win the title.
Yeah, and guess what happened? Golden State then in that offseason
got Kevin
Durant.
Exactly. No, I get it.
Just that one little caveat.
Yeah, okay. I see the point you're getting at. I see the point you're getting at. I think that I'm going to go back and double down on this from a comment I made during the last pod we did.
Yep.
I'm not ready to count the Raptors out of that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about which team might go on that run to make this better than 93.
Yep.
I'm putting my money on the Raptors.
All right.
I think the Leafs will struggle to get out of the first round.
Yeah.
It'll come down to goaltending. And I think the Raptors are poised to make that jump. And I think they got a conference final in them at the very least.
That'd be fantastic.
All right.
Bob, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's been a blast doing this since we started in the late springish.
Yeah.
Early summer.
Yeah, I think it was May.
Yeah,
We were in May. We did a bunch of pre-pods.
Yeah.
Remember we used to do our pre-pods?
Yes.
We put out these 90-second teasers.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Baby steps, Bob.
Baby steps. All right, so that was great,
yep.
And we look forward to 2018. Mm-hmm. And send us all of your texts and any thoughts and ideas.
Your tweets. Now, if you send us your texts,
I keep calling
them
texts.
Again, you have our phone number. And, I mean, here's the thing. You can have my phone number. It's not that exciting. Yeah.
His phone doesn't work anyway, so what's the difference?
How dare you. It was crack BlackBerry.
Yeah. CrackBerry.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Love
you. To you,
and
too.
See
love
you,
you too.
Year.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.